Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show. Right here on Gospel Music Omaha 100.3 FM. Gospel Music Omaha. Omaha's first, only, and dare I say best, urban gospel radio station ever to exist in the states of Nebraska and Iowa. And we are so pleased and humbled to still be on the air, making sure that you've got that wonderful 24/7 gospel music. We got told last week that our radio station is better than Sirius Radio, than XM Radio.
Yes.
And if you happen to be listening to this broadcast and you're not near your FM dial, you can listen online. Just go to gospelmusicomaha.com, and there's a big old button there that says listen now, and everything we broadcast over the air is also broadcast on the internet, so you can listen wherever you are in the world.
Yes, indeedy.
So there's a lot that has gone on this week.
I know.
Now, I normally try to make these conversations evergreen, meaning if you were to listen to it 5 or 10 or 20 years from now, that the messages would be just as relevant as when you hear about it. So sometimes I try not to really talk about the news and current events for that reason, because I want the messages to be able to last for a long time and still be relevant even years later. But there are some current events that have happened here recently that, man, there's a lot going on. I'm here to tell you. If you have not heard yet, sadly, rest in peace to Miss Angie Stone, who tragically passed away in a car accident. And if that's your first time hearing it, I'm sorry that you first heard about it from the radio. But she recently, within the last couple of months, went public with an Instagram live talking about how she had been cheated out of her royalties and things that she was supposed to be paid, and that she was going to do what she could to get her money. And here we are a couple of months later, and she passed tragically in a car accident. So rest
but
in peace.
But what's funny was nobody else was hurt.
Right. Like, there were nine other people in the car, and there were some injuries, but she was the only one who passed away. And what I found interesting was that in one of the last lives or videos that I had heard from her, she talked quite a bit about the Lord and having Jesus on her side. And so I got the impression that, you know, I don't know what the state of her eternal soul was, but she at least had some sort of knowledge and acquaintance with the things of the Lord. And so hopefully those things were sincere. And
she said things seemed like they were going pretty well until she decided to start doing gospel music and things of that nature. That's when a lot of her royalty monies that should be coming to her were missing. And when she decided to go after it, that's when, and she's, as you know, she actually finished the album. So we'll be playing some of her new stuff coming up here, starting next week, which I'm really excited by. And she's going to be with a lot of people. I don't want to spoil it. That's why I'm tiptoeing because I don't want to spoil who's on the album. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, it's what I find interesting is that a lot of artists, when they get to the point where they realize that the things that are going on in the secular music industry really are just really super anti-Christ and far away from the Jesus of the Bible. A lot of them have a come to Jesus moment, I guess you could say. And they realize that, man, they have compromised their way into massive, massive mistakes that now sometimes they feel like they're in a pickle and they can't get out of. There's a article that was put out about something that Kanye West said. And I know y'all think that Kanye West is not always in his right mind, and I would have a tendency to agree. But if you take a look at this article that he put out here, he talked about the record business, how literally they will have you sign contracts where you are not allowed to say the name of Jesus. I'm pulling it up here on the screen for those of us. Oh, my browser doesn't look like it wants to work. Hold on. For those that might be watching the video, let's see if we can get this display. There we go. Let's see what we got. I'm reading this from the ChristianPost.com. This article came out February 4th of 2020. So this was a while back.
Yeah.
And it says, Kanye West reveals record labels have contracts prohibiting, that means forbidden, you not allow, you can't do it,
right,
prohibiting artists from talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, this was back when he was doing his Christian album and he was pushing a lot of that.
It was called Jesus Walks. I remember
and,
that.
And you know now that
Jesus walks,
he's done a
Jesus
lot of things since then, which would kind of give an indication that maybe there's some backsliding going on there. But he says here in this article, Kanye West and the Sunday Service Choir teamed up with Vos Church to perform at Bayfront Park in Miami ahead of the Super Bowl back in 2020, where in between songs, he told the audience that many mainstream record contracts forbid artists from saying Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. God, quote, God is using us to show off, to show God is better than the devil, he told the crowd, referring to the success of his latest albums, Jesus is King and Jesus is Born. Quote, the devil took all the producers, the musicians, the designers. Mm-hmm. He moved us all out to Hollywood, moved us all out to New York, chasing gold statues, literally signing a contract and selling our souls, he continued. Mm-hmm. West then revealed that many of the artists he worked with while creating Jesus is King were relieved to freely say the name of Jesus because of the way their agreements are set up in the industry. Quote, they got contracts out there that say you can't say Jesus. When we were working mm-hmm. on this album, people were coming to the studio just to say Jesus as loud as they wanted to. You can say Jesus in Ye's studio, he declared. Christian rapper Busy took to Instagram Monday to share the lyrics from his song. Okay, keep on going, blah, blah, blah. But that was the point that I was really trying to grab out of that. We don't need to spend a lot more time on that. The point being is, notice, why would they go out of their way to make sure you can't say Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Because there's power in the name. There's in the blood of Jesus.
Why don't they have it in your contract that, well, you can't say Muhammad, or you can't say Buddha, or you can't say, you see what I'm saying? Why is it always Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it always Christianity that is the thing that gets singled out? If that doesn't tell you there's something special and unique about Christ and about the Bible and about being a follower of Jesus mm-hmm. that is unique to everything else, mm-hmm. because why else would they spend so much time and energy just to make sure that you can't even say the name of Jesus? Never mind, you can't preach Jesus or evangelize or proselytize or anything like that. You can't even say the name, and we put a net in the contract. That's crazy.
Right.
But if you think about it, this world, the Bible tells us that this world is at enmity with God. That means mortal enemies. That means enemy to the death. Let me pull that up. Friendship with the world is enmity toward God is the verse that I'm thinking about here at the moment. Enmity. Enmity.
Even the Bible says in the beginning that he'll create enmity with the woman. Remember Satan and the woman's seed?
Yep.
Enmity is, that is a real thing.
Yep.
Okay?
I think that's in the book of John. Let me look that up. Friendship.
Is enmity with the world.
With the world. Mm-hmm. Enmity with God. Let's pull that up. That is James. Oh, man, I was off. I thought it was John. It was James. James 4:4. There you go.
Well, they both were J's.
Well, they both started with J. I was in the right part of the alphabet. Let me pull that up here real quick and get that up here and read that. All right. So there is something that we who are believers in the biblical Jesus, not the version that unsaved people want to tell us, not the version the media wants to tell us, not the version that the record labels who won't even let you say the name tell us, but the actual biblical Jesus and the things that are in the scripture, that is the one thing that Satan hates the most, because he knows mm-hmm. that when you really know Jesus and you have been regenerated and born anew by the Holy Spirit of God,
hallelujah,
that you're untouchable, you're unstoppable from a spiritual perspective. Satan no longer has dominion over you when you allow Jesus to come in and transform your life.
Right.
And so for that reason, the world hates Jesus. It hates Christianity. It hates any sort of true faith and true doctrine. It hates it. Not just dislike, not just, we don't like it, but we'll tolerate it. No, there is a true hatred between the two. It says here in James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And vice versa. If you are a friend of God, the world will consider you an enemy.
Right.
And the world system that is governed by Satan, the fallen angels, the demons, the Nephilim, and just the bad iniquities in the hearts of people, is working overtime to make sure that it can destroy or attempt to destroy the power of God in each and every one of our lives. That, to me, is a very strong reason why I would want to follow Jesus.
And
because
I like when you use the word to try and destroy the power.
Mm-hmm.
That power is the Holy Spirit for you to understand who the true and living God, who is the Most High God. And that's what he wants to destroy. He wants to put everything there that he can to deceive you into not knowing the name of Yahushua, also known as Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, all the rest of those gods are dead.
Say that.
Okay? All the rest of those gods are dead. And you know what? And Satan, of course, is a fallen angel. You understand that when we say fallen angel, that means he does not have the same power, not even close, as King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are devil worshipers out there. They love Satan. You know you love Satan. You're going to lose. We want you to know you're going to lose if you want to stay on that side. Because guess what? Satan, it says he's the small g. He's the god of this world. And if you look up that word, god of this world, it's a small g. The reason why it's a small g, because he is not the big G, which is the Most High God, which is why you're going to get balled up like a piece of foil and thrown in the lake of fire.
I gotta be foil. It can be tissue.
No, because foil, once you ball it up, you can't unravel it. You're going to get thrown up in there. You're going to get baked.
And so some of you might be out there saying, yeah, but why? Why is following Jesus such a big deal? And you actually are hitting the point, love. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to get into it a little bit deeper. The point is that our God lives.
Yes, the living God.
He is the creator of heaven and earth and everything that exists. He is not some counterfeit. He's not an idol that has eyes but can't see. It has a mouth but it can't talk to you. It has ears but it can't hear your prayers. It got legs and arms but it can't move. It can't hug you. It can't love you. He is the living God of all. And he has ultimate power, dominion, and authority over everything, including death.
Yes.
Including time.
Including hell.
Including history.
And
including
the grave.
Satan and everything that comes along with him. And that is why this world hates our God, our Messiah, and our faith so much. I'm going to pull up Matthew chapter 10 and I'm going to show you what I mean here.
Like LSD, Lucifer, Satan, devil. Get it? LSD?
Let's ride here a little bit with Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to point out a few things to you. Starting in verse 1, and when he had called unto him, this is Yahushua, Jesus, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits.
Hallelujah.
To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. If I'm Pfizer or Moderna, or
Merck,
or Johnson & Johnson, or any of these other major pharmaceutical companies, that would mess up my business model, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
If everybody was trusting in the Lord and God chose to show his healing power to go forth through Christ, and people were literally getting healed and no longer needed them high blood pressure meds and insulin meds, and they no longer needed those things.
We can get a little deeper about
those businesses would go out of business. So I can see why the medical industry would hate Jesus.
The reason why they hate Jesus is because when they were getting bit by the serpents, okay, they put the snake, remember, he put him up there, and see, they think that these snakes, that's the same symbol that the pharmaceutical companies use, Jackie. Have you noticed that? They use that in the medical field, where those snakes just like this go around and go up there, and that's worship that should not be. We don't serve that. We don't look to all of that pharmacy. I think it's called pharmakia. That's the name of it, right, Jackie? Pharmakia. What's that say for the word pharmakia?
Well, that's the root word of what we get as pharmacy, but it also means sorcery.
And that's witchcraft, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's going on right now. When they want you to take all of this stuff, they want to blind you, and they don't want you to really see what that's all about. And that's the reason why he held that up and said, you need to look at your sin on this. And when they didn't, they got bitten by those snakes, Jackie, and they died. But the ones who did see it, they were healed instantly.
Well, you are referring to a different passage in the Old Testament. And that whole look upon the serpent and be healed was an allegory or a shadow of what Jesus would do. Jesus took upon himself the sins of the whole world. And when he was lifted up on the tree, if you looked to Jesus, then you would be saved and you would be healed. That's what that really was about.
I was going to get there, but thank you. Look, I can't help it that you know how to get there quicker than I do.
Well,
I'd be over the hill through the woods and Jackie be like, pew, straight to the point.
Back to Matthew 10. So in verse 1, Jesus, this was before he died and rose again from the dead, so they were still under the old covenant. He called the 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That means all. That means STDs.
That means AIDS.
Lupus.
Meth mouth. Meth head.
That means multiple sclerosis.
Right.
It says all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. He gave the disciples the power to not only... First, notice it says first, power against unclean spirits to cast them out, comma, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Some things that we designate as sicknesses and disease are actually demonic manifestation.
Correct.
It is actually demonic oppression. And if you...
Oppression, depression,
yes. Now that's
vexation.
Now, that's not everything. We've talked about this many times over the air, that anytime you see someone that's presenting with something, you have to look at the soul, the body, as well as the spirit.
Correct.
And sometimes things are just purely body. Like, for example, type 2 diabetes, that's purely what you eat and how much you exercise, period. If you're eating things that over time have put your body out of whack, and you're not exercising and you're not burning those things off, or you're carrying too much weight.
There are exceptions because some people are born.
That's type 1.
Right.
I'm talking about type 2.
Right.
Type 2 diabetes can be easily solved by a change of diet and lifestyle. So that would be a body problem.
Correct.
Some issues are a soul problem. Mm-hmm. You had traumas. Maybe you have psychological things that you need to work through, unmet needs or unresolved traumas that then can manifest in your body by producing anxiety hormones, cortisol, things like that. But then there are some things that present itself in your body physically, but it is actually a spiritual issue, and those unclean spirits need to be dealt with.
Yes.
Some in the scripture, we talked about this.
There are layers.
Right. We talked about this. There could be things such as... something as simple as epilepsy and schizophrenia, which you see examples of those things in the scripture. Jesus healed all of that.
Yes.
There are things that we know in modern times, such as layering in demonic possession onto people through trauma and mind control. Mm-hmm. Those things would need to be worked out with the spirit. In the physical body realm, there are things such as parasites, mold, fungus, a lot of things that present themselves as things like allergies are actually reactions to the toxins that we're putting in our bodies through, let's say, those injections that they have all the
too much candy, sugar,
white processed sugar.
Sugar.
The point being is that in this particular example, Matthew 10, 1, the first thing he did was give them the power of the unclean spirits to cast them out. So they first started with the spiritual issue. Then they went on with the power to heal all sickness, which is nosos, which means a malady, disease, infirmity, and all matter of disease, which is malakia, which is innervation or debility or disease. And I would guess, without going deep into the Greek, that probably sickness and disease would show a difference between maybe some psychological and maybe some different physical issues. So what I'm seeing here is that Jesus in himself has the power to deal with the spiritual root of a problem, a soul issue of the problem, and a physical issue of the problem. He has power over it all.
Yes.
And so I could see how the pharmaceutical industry would hate Christians just for that. If we actually knew the power that we have in the name of Jesus and under the authority of the Most High God, empowered by the Holy Spirit and by his direction, we would wipe out the pharmaceutical industry.
That now that's deep, because they want you to stay on it so that they can control you.
That's how they make money.
Yeah.
So we'll mess up their business model.
Mm-hmm.
Now, skipping down to verse 7, it says, "And as you go, preach, saying..." He told them to go out and to do all these things. And in verse 7, he says, "Now as you go, I want you to preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is
at hand."
In other words, when you go out, you need to tell people that this world is not all there is.
Right.
That there is something else.
Yes.
On the way. And that is the kingdom of heaven. That is when God will judge rightly everybody and everything and all this evil.
Right.
He is going to set it all right, and his kingdom is not going to have any tolerance for that.
Look, set it right and he's going to set it off.
Then he continues. So after you've said, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then he said, heal the sick.
Yep.
Like that was an actual instruction. Hey, heal them. That's deep. Cleanse the lepers.
Yes.
People who had leprosy, you think we had 6 foot social distancing during COVID.
Have you ever seen what a leper looks like?
A person who had leprosy was not even allowed to be in town at all.
There's these bumps. They're like this big. Some of them are big like this, and some of them are very small, and they're everywhere. They're on their mouth, their tongue, they're everywhere.
So we thought 6 foot social distancing was a thing during COVID. If you had leprosy back then, you were considered so contagious and gross to be around that you were not even allowed to be in the city at all. They made you literally go out of town and get away from everybody.
Because it's contagious.
And so
leprosy is contagious.
So he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. You got to go to a leper in order to cleanse them. That's deep. That means don't be afraid if somebody is sick. You go and you do what I told you to do. Cleanse the lepers. Then he said, raise the dead. Wait a minute. Jesus gave these disciples the power to raise the dead? In other words, the same power that Jesus had to conquer over death, hell, and grave, he actually imparted that to the disciples because there was a message that he needed people to know, and that is this Jesus is living and his power is real. And so he delegated that power to them and told them to go out and do these things.
And there were some that came back and said, why could we not do it? And what did he say? This kind come out with prayer and fasting. If you really want to know, if you really want to know and understand and be able to, sometimes you have to push away from certain things. You know what it is, whether it's porn or pushing away from food or whether it's pushing away from sugar or whether it's pushing away from whatever it is, TV, the phone. Only you know what it is. He'll deal with you with what you should fast. And he will handle it. He will show you and he'll lead you, guide you, and direct you. And that way you'll be more, you'll be more on point, okay, with what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Because all of you have a mandate. All of us have a mandate to go. He said, go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel. Didn't he say that? Go into the world and preach the gospel.
He did indeed. So in verse 8, Matthew 10, verse 8, if you just dropped in, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Mm-hmm. Freely you have received,
freely
give. Mm-hmm. Don't provide any gold or silver or brass in your purses or any scrip for your journey. That means you don't need to worry about packing a whole bunch of stuff when you go out to do what I'm telling you to do. Neither two coats. Don't take two coats. You don't need to worry about shoes or staves or anything, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Mm-hmm. In other words, you are going to be provided with what you need if you are in my will doing what I told you to do. Mm-hmm. And that's true for all of us. Whatever mm-hmm. it is that God has told you to do or called you to do, if you do those things, whatever you need is going to be provided to you by mm-hmm. God, because he's the one that's going to make sure you have what you need for your journey. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, I don't know what God has told me to do. Well, it's probably that thing that you've been resisting doing.
Right.
That thing that you have been resisting about, that's probably the thing that he's been encouraging you to do. You just haven't been obedient yet.
You come on here and let the Lord use you.
If you are obedient to what it is that he has called you to do, mm-hmm. and you press through that discomfort mm-hmm. to actually walk in what he has told you to do, he's going to provide for you. Yes. That was the point of this verse here. He says, don't worry about gold, silver, or brass. That means you ain't got to worry about how much money it's going to cost, whether it's a little, a middle mm-hmm. amount, or a lot. Mm-hmm. He says, don't worry about clothes, shoes, or anything else that you need, because he's going to provide you your meat. In other words, what you need to sustain your life mm-hmm. while you're doing his work. Right. He will provide for you. Then he says in verse 11, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there until you come out from there. So in other words, even if you worried about where you gonna live while you're doing what God has called mm-hmm. you to do, he's going to direct you to where you're supposed to be.
Just what? Like he told that woman, make me a cake first. Mm-hmm. And remember, she made that cake for him. Mm-hmm. And then you know what he did? He discerned what she needed. And did he not provide it? Mm-hmm. And then she came back and said, hey, I have this baby and I did this and I did that. And he done died. And he said, oh, no. And he went into the house and he raised. And guess what? And she did what she's supposed to do. And she didn't ever want for anything.
Real quick, I see a chat.
Sister Carol.
Saying, mm-hmm. blessings, dear women of the Lord. Glad to catch you today. Sending love.
Love to you,
yes,
too, Sister Carol
Jean-Pierre.
Yes.
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 100%.
Hallelujah.
So continuing on, he says, and when you get to a house, salute it. So they would travel and they were doing this preaching and they were doing this healing. Mm-hmm. And then there will be some people along the way that will say, okay, you can stay with us tonight while you're on your journey doing your thing. And when he would get there, they would salute the house. And if the house was worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. In other words, If they ain't trying to work with you, you ain't got to worry about working with them, basically.
Shake the dust from your feet.
He says, and whoever would not receive you or hear your words, when you depart out of that house or you leave that city, shake the dust off your feet. In other words, don't carry that toxicity with you when you leave. Don't mm-hmm. carry the dirt with you when you leave. When you are doing God's work, everybody's not going to like it. Some people are not going to receive what you have to offer. Some people are not going to like what you have to offer.
Because they have the devil in them.
Some people are going to try to sabotage what you're doing for Christ. And some people are going to try to block it. And some people are just straight up haters. And what he's basically saying, when he's saying shake the dust off your feet, what that meant during that time was they lived, of course, in the Middle East and Northeast Africa. And so it's a very hot and dusty climate. So having dust on your feet was something that you just always had to deal with. So there was a lot in their culture that dealt with things like foot washing, because you had dust all the time coming off of your sandals. So you would go into a house, your shoes and your feet would be dusty. Now, we kind of do that a little bit today. A lot of us say, hey, when you come in the house, take your shoes off. Don't we do that?
In the black homes, we do.
We say, when you come in the house, take your shoes off because I don't want you tracking outside
inside,
in my house.
Inside.
Okay. Well, their culture, imagine that times 10, because they had sandals, they were walking in sand, and things were not the way they are today. So
even Jesus washed feet, didn't he?
Right. And so if you had money back then, you had servants, and their whole job was to get the basin of water out when a guest would come into the house, and they would wash your feet when you came into the house to make sure that your feet were clean. So it was the job of a servant most of the time to do that. So you'll see other passages of scripture where there was a woman that washed Jesus's feet with her tears, for example. And the disciples were like, don't be letting her get down there doing that. She ain't nobody but a woman of the night. And she's not, you know, whatever. And he was like, no, this is a very high gift and high praise. Well, that's why. Because she was showing She was showing Jesus that she was in service to him, that she loved him enough to do whatever it took, even if it meant the lowest thing. Other parts of scripture, Jesus told his disciples that if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the servant to all. And Jesus literally washed the disciples' feet.
Hallelujah!
That's what that meant.
He said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me.
That's what he meant, because in that culture, that was a very, like, you gave that to the lowest servant that you had. Well, get down there and wash them dirty feet. I mean, can you imagine? That's your whole job, is to wash people's dusty feet. And they smelling and it's cracked and they've been walking in sand and all of that. Well, that was what this was about. So when Jesus sent the disciples out to these various towns and cities to preach and heal people and cast out devils and do all that, some people didn't like it. One, it was probably messing up their business. Two, it was messing up the social structure. And three, they just didn't want to repent. So he said in Matthew 10:14, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't carry that dust or that dirt or that toxicity or that hate. Don't take it with you.
Carol said, come on. All right.
In general, yes. What that means is that don't take it personal.
Yes.
Because not everybody's going to like you.
Nope.
Not everybody's going to love you. Some people are actually going to hate you. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, sometimes that's very hard for us because we love everybody. We want people to love us. We want people to like us. We believe in being nice and being kind. And so sometimes it's hard for us to accept that not everybody loves us because of our message. And that some people actually actively dislike us because of our faith.
And sometimes they can be four-faced, okay? Where they looking, they smiling and acting like they, you know, and underneath all of it, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm. So don't take it personal if someone don't like you. I've been really dealing with that in my own personal life, just working through that. You know what, man, I really thought that I was a cool person, but this person just really seems like they don't like me. They just really don't like me. And that was really tough for me because I want people to like me, and we all want people to like us and love us. That is a natural human instinct. But what he's basically saying is that if people don't like you or love you or don't appreciate what you have to offer or don't understand the value that you're bringing, shake the dust off your feet.
Right.
In other words, keep moving and don't take it personal.
Yes.
That's what he's basically saying.
Yeah.
In verse 15, he says, truly I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. If they don't receive the message of Jesus, if you are giving the message the way that the Holy Spirit is telling you to deliver it and they refuse it or reject it, that's on them. That judgment is going to be on them, but it won't be because you weren't obedient.
Right.
And so in 16, Matthew 10:16, he says, behold, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves.
Wow.
Be therefore as wise or as crafty or as clever or as cunning as serpents and harmless as doves. We don't have to push our faith or force our faith on people. We can be strategic. That's what this means. Serpents are strategic. They are plotting and planning how they're going to catch whatever it is that they're trying to catch or bite or whatever they're trying to get.
And believe me, they be thinking of all kinds of stuff.
Right. They we're take living their
in
time.
We're living in a time now where everything that you do has to be by faith. But it has to be, you have to trust. And I know you're like, oh, I believe, but it's hard to help my unbelief. Then guess what? Then let King Jesus help you with your unbelief. Because there's stuff they putting in the food, all of this mess they're doing, you're praying over your food and all this stuff. You just have to trust by faith. I found out the other day they're putting stuff in the eggs.
Oh, they got stuff in everything. We're not going to be able to escape the evil that the elites at the top, who are aided by Lucifer, what they are doing. We're not going to be able to escape that. But if we're in Christ, he will deliver us.
Yes.
He will save us. He will protect us. He will empower us. He will make sure that we have the faith and the direction and the strategy that he wants us to have to navigate the darkness. That's exactly what he's saying here.
Right.
In Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Mm-hmm. Well, what is a wolf? A wolf is a predator. Mm-hmm. And it's looking for something that it can catch and kill.
But you know what?
And Jesus is saying,
he can't kill King Jesus because King Jesus is the Lion of Judah, baby. Let a wolf try to come up against a lion and see what you get. You're going to get ripped apart.
But notice, he didn't say, I'm going to send you with just as much ferociousness as a wolf. I'm going to send you like a wolf in the midst of wolves. No. What he's saying is, I'm sending you in as a sheep in the midst of wolves. Meaning, you don't have to change your tender heart. You don't have to change your optimism. Mm-hmm. You don't have to change your kindness. You don't have to get dirty because they dirty. You don't have
I thought I had to.
No, not at all.
I thought I had to because people used to run over me all the time.
There's a difference between being kind and being a pushover.
Right.
And that's where the being wise as serpents part comes in. You can still maintain your boundaries, your self-respect, your dignity, and your integrity. And be nice at the same time.
That's right.
It's not all or nothing. But what he's basically saying, first of all, we know in other parts of the scripture, he says, I'm the good shepherd and my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger. They will not follow. So when he says, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, he's saying, I'm the good shepherd. I got you. I will protect you. It doesn't matter how many wolves are around you. The good shepherd.
Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Do you know what a staff does? When that lamb gets too far, the step goes like this. It has a hook on it that's like this, and it pulls you back, or it helps to hit or kill or things that will try to or keep you from going off the ledge and all other types of things. His rod and his staff, it comforts us. He keeps us. The Holy Spirit keeps us.
So if you are a sheep and there's wolves all around you, you're going to have to be strategic. And you're going to have to be smart. And that's why he says, be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Sheep are not aggressive animals.
Unless
they are provoked and fighting for their life, they are not aggressive animals. And so he's saying you don't have to be hard and tough and rough. All you have to do is follow me and follow my instructions and be strategic. And I will show you how to navigate all the sharks in the water and all the wolves in the land and all of the arrows that are pointed your way. I will show you how to be strategic.
The arrows that fly by day.
And he says, but beware of men, but beware of people. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't be naive. You want to be smart. Mm-hmm. Don't let the okie doke. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't get fooled by the okie doke. Y'all know I call it the okie doke. I probably got that from my grandmother.
I call it the rope-a-dope.
They used to say back in the day, people that's nickel slick. You ever heard of nickel slick?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. That's the one that they used to use. Yes. Yep. Those two.
So he's saying, but beware of people, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils.
And figuring a way. Just
you know, they'll take you to court. They'll sue you. Mm-hmm. They'll try to set you up to put you in jail. Mm-hmm. When you go to the council, what is the council? The council is like the government.
Right.
Right. It's the prison system. It's the legal system.
Jesus went before,
it's the government system.
Jesus went before the council. Can you believe it?
So he says that, okay, you're going to be out here. You're going to be preaching. You're going to be healing people. You're going to be making a difference. You're going to be impacting this world for Christ. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to be strategic, and you're going to not allow yourself to become just as dirty and evil as they mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. But he said, but you got to watch out for them folk, because mm-hmm. you know, they will try to hem you up. They mm-hmm. will try to trap you. He says they will deliver you.
If they turn you in, they get a $10,000 reward. They get a $20,000 reward.
Oh, it's going to be all kind of snitching and everything. If you know anybody yeah. who's a Christian, just turn them in.
We'll give you $50,000.
Right. We'll give you some extra. We're going to give you a reward for see something, say something, you know, all that stuff. So he says, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. In other words, even the church folks will talk bad about you. Mm-hmm. It says they will scourge you in their synagogues. To scourge somebody,
they have a form of godliness, but they denying the power. They denying the Holy Spirit, that he can change and that he can rearrange.
The word for scourge there is mastigou, which is to flog, which means to beat somebody either literally mm-hmm. or figuratively. In mm-hmm. other words, they'll try to beat up your reputation, even in the church.
Yep.
Because if they're not living right for Christ and you are, that makes them feel some kind of way. That makes yeah. them feel uncomfortable. So they would rather trash your reputation.
Well, it makes them feel like, why couldn't I do it? Or why can't I do it? Or because they know they can do it, but they don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they get jealous or envious or whatever have you because of that.
So whether you're in the world or you in the church, if you are living for Christ, there's going to be some people that's not going to like it. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's saying here. Beware of these people, because mm-hmm. in the world, they'll deliver you up to the councils. They'll try to get you. They'll mm-hmm. try to get you in court. They'll try to get you in government. They'll try mm-hmm. to get you in jail. They'll mm-hmm. try to get you caught up. And in the mm-hmm. church world, they'll try to ruin your reputation. They'll mm-hmm. try to get you demoted so you can't minister. Mm-hmm. They'll try to tell the pastors, well, don't have that person come to your church because they this and they that.
Or, you know, the only reason why she's doing what she's doing because she's sleeping with the pastor.
That actually happened to me. And I can't say too much because I don't want to identify anybody that was involved. But that actually happened to me. I got accused simultaneously of sleeping with the pastor and trying to sleep with one of the women in the church. Well, which one is it? Which lie is it? Because neither one of those things were happening, but they were so bothered because I was coming in helping the church, making it better, making changes in the church, that there were people that just literally did not like that God was making moves, and the moves were in the positive so fast that they were like, they just couldn't handle it. So all kind of rumors started flying that had nothing to do with me, but they made those things up to discourage me right. from being active and impactful in that particular church.
You know.
And so.
You know, King Jesus had your back up
close.
Of
course he did.
Far away.
Well, just, I'm like, this is dumb. First of all, no, I'm not even interested in the pastor. And two, no, I'm not interested in this woman. I'm just simply trying to make relationships in the church.
You don't have nothing I want.
To have connection with people, because that's what you're supposed to do in churches. You're supposed to build relationships, because that's what the Bible teaches, is that you want to build relationships that you can be iron that sharpens iron.
Say
you
it.
Can encourage one another, pray for one another. You can support one another.
Say
you
it.
Can increase each other's faith. I was just trying to do what the Bible said, and people were taking it all kind of wrong ways, the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and back to Sunday again. And that was unfortunate, because the work that God had begun doing in the church, it got stopped. Not because I was doing anything wrong, because I wasn't, but because the people that weren't doing right, were more invested in the church than me actually doing right. So they went out, and we had to part ways, and I had to do exactly what the scripture said. I had to shake the dust off my feet. I had to not take it personal. I had to move on from that town, just like he told them here, is that if they won't receive your message, move on,
and God will, from your feet.
And God will judge that the way he sees fit. That's right. Exactly what the scripture said. So continuing on in verse 18 of Matthew 10, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. So basically what he's saying is, if something happens because you are standing for Christ and you end up having to be involved in some legal situation or some other, you know, situation that you didn't expect to find yourself in because of the cause and the name of Christ, he's going to give you what you need.
Yes.
He says, when they deliver you up, don't take any thought for how or what you will speak.
Yep.
Like, don't even worry about what you're going to speak. Why? Because it will be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak.
Hallelujah.
So you don't have to try to think your way out of that paper bag or try to plan your way out of that situation. Oh my gosh, I'm going to court now. They're trying to sue me because of this, that, or the other thing. You spending sleepless nights worried about what you're going to say when you get in front of the judge and all that. All you have to do is pray and trust that the Holy Spirit is going to give you what you need to say at that moment. I sense right now that there's some folks right now going through what I have recently been going through, which is I had to go to court for an issue, and I was so concerned about, oh my goodness, what's gonna happen when I get in there? How's it gonna go? Is the judge gonna give me favor? I'm praying for favor. I got all my documentation together, I got all my witnesses together, and we get in there, and I was like, okay, whatever, however it's gonna go, Holy Spirit, I need you to lead and guide me.
Yes.
And when they called my name and I got up there, the judge asked me a question, and I started to answer. But it wasn't the answer the judge wanted. So the judge literally basically told me what I was supposed to say. It was crazy. You were there.
I was there.
The judge basically was like, no, I don't need to know that. I just need to know this thing right here. And basically told me what I needed to say to the judge. Was that not crazy?
No, it's not crazy.
So
that's King Jesus for you.
That's what this verse is all about, is that it doesn't matter if you're facing court right now. It doesn't matter if you are facing your parole officer right now. It don't matter if you got to go to the probation people. It doesn't matter if you got to go to workforce development and fill something out and you scared to do it because you ain't never been there before. It doesn't matter if you're trying to fill out a job application and you worry because you ain't been working for a while.
It don't matter if you have to go to a detox center.
None of that matters. What he's saying here is that he's going to give you what you need when you need it. He's going to show you and lead you and guide you and walk you through your situation.
Medical evaluation, it don't matter.
All of
that. It don't matter.
He's got you. That's really the big message here. He says, don't worry about what you're going to say, because it's going to be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak, for it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit of your Father which speaks in you.
Hallelujah!
He's going to be the one to give you the words and give you the clarity to say exactly what needs to be said in that situation, and to say exactly what needs to be said, and not more than what needs to be said, and not less than what you should say, but exactly the words that you are supposed to say and what you are supposed to do when you find yourself in that situation. That's the encouragement that comes here, because it's not you that speaks at that point, at that moment, but it's the Holy Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. And the brother shall, and then he goes on, and this is where I was headed in 21 and 22 of Matthew 10. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now he's talking about, if you're walking for Christ, even your own family may turn against you at some point. And you may have to walk a different path. Some of us out here, we the first one that got saved.
That day is here.
We the first one that got saved in our family, some of us. And our family grimy. And you know it and they know it. And everybody grimy.
Grimy.
You finally got saved. And now the Holy Spirit is calling you to something different. And your family is not comfortable with that, because now you don't want to do the same things that your family has always done. And now there's a difference, and there's a breaking between the two. trade you in for a whatchamacallit. This is so true.
Right?
But this is what happens when you are committed and sold out to Christ, and your family or your friends or your loved one or your relationship partner, whoever it is, if they are not walking in Christ right along with you, there is going to be a wedge that's going to be there. So expect it. Don't take it personal, and you're going to feel sad, because there's going to be a certain amount of grieving that's going to happen when a relationship changes.
Even Jesus wept. There is no harm in weeping. There's no harm in crying. Even Jesus wept. But don't you know that King Jesus bottles up your tears? There are sometimes you don't have any. One day, you know, I cried, Jackie, so bad that I felt like there was something in them. I was trying to, like, swallow, and I couldn't even swallow. I couldn't even barely breathe. But you know, King Jesus, he delivered me. Sometimes you just don't even, you know, and the Bible says that Abel's blood cried from the ground. So if he can hear, you remember Cain and Abel, okay? If he could hear Abel's blood crying from the ground, don't you know that he can hear you as well? He can hear you. He can hear any frequency in which you cry or you hurt or you're in pain, you're in suffering. You don't have to say nothing. He knows.
So to round this out, he's saying that when you are doing his work, guided by his spirit and in his power, brother will deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise against their parents and cause them to be put to death. He's basically saying that it might even be family that turns against you the most. It might even be your parents, your children, not just your friends, your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend.
For money,
when you are walking for Christ, there may be a wedge that comes between there. And it is okay to grieve that. And it is okay to feel sad that the relationship is changing. It's okay. I feel it's important to say that sometimes as Christ followers, we try to make it out to be like we ain't never bothered by nothing. Oh, I just got faith. Oh, it is well. And we don't ever acknowledge that things have hurt us. Things hurt. When people don't like you, or they turn against you, or they hate on you, that stuff hurts.
And they put it right there. Hurt. Look at this.
Yep. I'll read that in a moment.
That's exactly along with what she's saying.
It's okay to feel those things, but ultimately we know that the power that is in Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit to heal, to deliver, to cast out devils, and to righteously judge and defend our honor and defend us for our faith is greater than anything in this world. And he continues on in verse 22 to say, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." I know that message probably sounds a little bit sad, that we want everybody to like us and love us and to rejoice with us when good things happen, and to mourn with us when we're sad, and to be on our team and to be on our side and to love Christ as much as we do. We all want that. That is natural to want that. But be aware that there is a world that is out there that is opposed to Christ in every way. And we may have to endure some people not liking that, and some people actively working against us because of Christ. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, you're going to be hated by people because there's haters in the world. Mm-hmm. No, he says you will be hated for my name's sake.
You could just,
because of me,
his name. I mean, just even just saying, I love Jesus. I love King Jesus. I love him. Just for that, they're looking at you like a house of flying daggers.
Now, some people is just not other people's cup of tea. That's just life. Yeah. Know, everybody don't like everybody. That just is the way it is. You know, some people, you know, you kind of don't like their flavor, and that's okay. We all
need. Some people don't mesh.
Right. We all have differences of of style, taste, personality, all that. Everybody ain't for everybody. But that's not what we're talking about here in this passage. We're talking specifically about people that have negative thoughts, intentions, or feelings about you because of who you are in Christ. And what he says is, he that endures to the end shall be saved. You just need to endure. Dust the dust off your feet. Don't take it personal. Pray for them. Mm-hmm. Leave it in God's hands and continue to be strategic and trusting of Christ and walking in the true power that comes from being a child of the living God, because that's what Satan hates the most. Mm. And the people that's following Satan, that's what gets them stirred up and triggered the most, is when they encounter someone that has the true anointing of the Holy Spirit, who is truly devoted to Christ and walking in the center of his will. Satan can't stand that, and he will turn all kind of people all kind of ways. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you are a sheep that is led by the good shepherd. You hear his voice, a voice of a stranger you will not follow. And if you endure to the end, you will be saved. Let me read that comment here real quick. I see a whole bunch of comments.
You have a whole bunch.
To that comment here as go ahead. Before we wrap up.
Go ahead.
Oh, man, I got old lady eyes today. Bring it a little closer to me.
I sure will. Here. Start up here.
It says... I'm trying, everybody. Let me get to these comments, because there's a lot that came in today. Trade you in for a whatchamacallit. So true. And yet we have to hold on and stay above, because that is what the devil is looking for. A place where sorrow from evil can catch one in faith in a depression from the rot of the evil ones. Want to try to shrink a person taking a stance for Christ. Mm-hmm. Stay above so nothing can separate the walk for the Christian.
Hallelujah.
Remember, surrenderance is a lot to gift over to the Lord, and God does have us in his holy and mighty hand. Surrenderance, but God, for the name. The name of Jesus makes folks shake so they run from what really is an opportunity to atone. Amen to that.
Mm-mm. Hallelujah.
So that's
hallelujah.
That's really, you know, all I really wanted to get into today is just to hallelujah. Be encouraged that as you are walking this walk of faith, everybody ain't gonna like it, y'all. But as we continue on, the more dark the darkness gets, the greater the light of Christ shines in and through us. And be encouraged that all you got to do is follow the Holy Spirit and endure to the end, and you will be saved. So before we hop off here, a little bit of housekeeping before we sign off for today. First of all, we have gotten a lot of your feedback about things you want to hear and talk about on the radio. We appreciate that feedback. Keep it coming.
Yes.
Of course, you can go to our contact page on the website, gospelmusicomaha.com/contact. Put your comments on topics you'd like us to address and talk about. Mm-hmm. Comments about the radio station, we take all that. If you want to text us at the request line number, you can request your favorite song or give us some feedback. Mm-hmm. Just text us at 402-819-8941. And then lastly, we have been asked to bring a few things into the radio station, and we are working on it, and we got some good things coming. One, we're looking to get traffic and weather in the morning show. So just like the other large radio stations that you hear, we want to have some traffic updates and some weather updates and get that in during your drive times in the morning. And exciting times, Love is going to be bringing back to life. She's going to be resurrecting our community events.
Yes.
We're going to do our community. I'm sorry. I'd have messed that all up because that phone is ringing.
I'm not answering it. I'm not. So they know what time this is. And if you don't know, now you're going to know.
So we got two things we're bringing back. One is the community events calendar. We're going to run it every day at noon, where events that are happening in the community that people will care about, will read that event out during the week of the event for free on the community events calendar. Of course, if you want more advertising above and beyond just that one readout, mm-hmm. you can of course invest some value there. But the daily community events calendar is coming mm-hmm. back up at noon every day, and next week we should be ready to share the website link for that.
And some of this stuff is free. Come on, now it's free.
The other thing we're going to be doing is we're going to bring back the community spotlight show, and
that's
Love
what I'll
Love
be helping with.
Is
yes.
going to take that over. So what it yes. Is it'll probably be on Mondays at either 6 or 7 p.m. We haven't
figured
that out yet, but she's going to do Zoom interviews with anybody that has a church, you're a music artist, a community, business,
mm-hmm.
Event, anything that you're promoting for the city that will be interesting to hear about on the radio
in
station.
In the gospel sector.
Mm-hmm. She's going to be conducting Zoom interviews that we are going to be airing on our community spotlight show.
Correct.
So more to come on that. We should have the links for both of those things next week. And we want you guys to tell us what's going on in the community. We want to hear about the events coming up.
Yeah.
We want to interview you as a spotlight of what you're doing, what you got going on in
Come
your
on
ministry,
here,
your
Carol.
Church, your business.
Come on here. Give
all
us some
of that.
Stuff. Okay.
So all of that's coming. If you're interested in that at all, just contact us. Mm-hmm. Again, and I'm going to say it one more time, gospelmusicomaha.com/contact. You can fill out a form and let us know. And then, of course, you can text us at the request line, 402-819-8941, if you're interested or you have an event. And then we'll send you the link to get all those things
yes.
into rotation that way.
Hallelujah.
So those things are coming up, and that's about all I have for this week. Any parting yes. words, love, before we get on out of here?
Yeah, just hit me up, y'all. I'm not kidding. Hit me up. Y'all already know that I know how to get a prayer through. And you already know I'm rooting for you. And if I can step out in faith, then you can too, because y'all know I used to be gun shy. I was like, I'm not saying nothing to nobody. And I'll just go, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. But even I'm being bold enough and stepping out in ways that I never, ever dreamed that I would or that I could. So thank you, Jackie, for encouraging me and helping me and loving me through it all.
You mean just poking you in your back, like, get on out there.
Out, out,
go.
Ouch.
It's time
saying?
For you
what
to shine.
You
it's time.
Hold on. Yeah, hold on just a
it's
moment.
It's time for you to shine.
And y'all know, also, really, really, Jackie, hold on.
We might have to catch that one on the flip side.
No, it'll get back. Okay, we're back.
I have a faith-based opera that will be coming up, all composed by
Come on.
Carol Jean-Pierre and written libretto.
Ooh.
Oh. Well, definitely you'll want to get your event on the community
Let's
event.
Go.
And we'll
fall.
Send
in the fall.
We're going to make the
Sister Carol Jean-Pierre.
Zoom interview links
yeah.
available. I can tell you now, it's probably going to be gospelmusicomaha.com/events for the community read
mm-hmm.
At noon daily. And it's probably going to be gospelmusicomaha.com/interview to be interviewed for our community spotlight
yes,
show.
Indeedy.
Or it might be /spotlight. I don't know yet. But we'll have that ready by next week. We'll announce that over the air, and then everybody will know about it. We want more community voices on the air. Because this is your station. Yes, we are the ones running it. Yes, we are the ones that founded it. But the whole reason we exist is for you and because of you. And as a community of Christ, we will all be stronger if we all know what's going on with each other. We want to be the hub for all the churches to, hey, what's going on?
Yep.
What's happening in the Christian world, in the church world, in the North Omaha community world,
yes.
as it relates to us as believers? We want to be that hub
yes.
For information, encouragement, inspiration. Yes, we are primarily a music station because music is what lifts our soul and encourages our spirits. But we want to really make more opportunities for the community to talk back.
So
if that makes sense.
Of my sisters.
She's reading comments. We'll probably have to catch the rest of those off air.
Of my.
Last thing here real
yes.
quick. If you want to run advertising for an event you have coming up.
So proud of my beautiful sisters. Hallelujah.
It's gospelmusicomaha.com/ads.
Yes.
ADS.
Mm-hmm.
The last time, for example, one of our favorite advertisers, they They are a local church that advertises those fish dinners. Y'all know y'all be selling them out when they advertise on the station.
Yes.
The other thing is, if you want to have a show on the radio station, we have slots available. You can have your own show on the radio.
That's
just
right.
Go to gospelmusicomaha.com/show.
Even
S-H-O-W.
If you're scared. Even if you're scared. Do it.
The way it works is you won't have to show your face.
Nope.
You just sign up for the show, and then it walks you through a little form that you have to fill out, and then all you will need to do is just upload your audio file or your YouTube link or whatever the audio is, and then we'll get that played on the air for your very own show that you can have on every week. And it's really not expensive at all, considering that our coverage area covers over 500,000 people, potential listeners in our listening area.
And that's right.
And that's definitely tapped into people that want to hear what you have to say, because this is the only black gospel radio station. We're the only one
in the state of Nebraska.
And so what better place
in
to
Iowa.
Showcase who you are and what you got going on than on this radio station? And we're making it easier and easier for you to be able to do that. So keep your radio locked to 100.3 FM. Keep your internet locked to gospelmusicomaha.com.
Yes.
And if you got something that you want to have on the air, there's plenty of ways that we're making it easy for you to do that. So that's all my little announcements are for that.
All right now.
So more to come on that. Thank you, everybody, for listening, as you always do, to Gospel Music Omaha.
Yes.
I am Lady J.
And I'm Love Love.
And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.